broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. From a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio. WRJMLP, Cullman.
And good afternoon, Cullman. It's 4 o'clock on a Thursday and time for our unique program right here on Cullman's Independent Radio Station, Live 95. It's Sports Talk Live. Lots of sports coming up just around the corner, and here to talk about it are your Sports Talk Live hosts, Jason Spiegel and Ronnie Barnes.
Thanks, Jay, and I noticed right off the word unique came to Jay's mind.
I guess that's a nice word.
Yeah, that's better than some words.
Yeah, that's better than you've called me.
Providing Coleman with a unique blend of music.
That's unique. A unique blend of
I've
music,
I've got a unique friend.
Hey, don't be picking on my college education radio broadcasting that got me off academic probation.
There you go.
Welcome, everybody, to the Thursday edition of Sports Talk Live, a day that Ronnie and I always look forward to.
That's right.
We're going to kick it off again today with Dan Vosta.
You got it.
And taking Greg Smith's place today, Chris Andrews. And I sent you a text or two, but tell everyone, I think we have got a jewel in being able to get Chris this year.
Yeah, I think Greg, from what you said, Greg really lined us up with we knocked a home run, didn't we?
Chris is only responsible for a huge website, AgainstTheNumber.com, and now a magazine, and Against the Number magazine. It is a e-magazine. Have you had any experience with an e-magazine, Ronnie?
No, I've had no experience.
Today is my first, and it's a lot easier to flip the pages.
I know what it is. I just never,
It's a little different. Now, I'm sure.
I like having the paper copy in my hand.
Oh yeah, probably if you're under 40, that's right down your alley. But when you get to be 50, like I am, you like to flip those pages.
That's right. I like to refer back to the book.
Right. But I looked through that, Ronnie, and I have never seen as much if you are playing for entertainment purposes only.
And that's a key phrase there.
I have never seen a magazine more fit for that purpose. And we'll talk about it with Chris. And I'm going to call him Greg before today's. You wait and see. But we'll talk about it with Chris and see what he's up to. Yeah. He's going to be picking some games for us, so get your pencils and pens as we get closer. We won't pick any today because we're still 3 weeks away from kickoff.
Yeah, absolutely. And what time is he going to join us?
He will join us about 4:20. And Dan will be coming up around 5 o'clock.
Dan is from Campus Insiders out of Chicago, Illinois, and as you call him, the Book of Knowledge.
Man, so. I'm telling you. And folks, we still have phone trouble. The parts and equipment are ordered. Mother Nature knocked the phone line. Didn't knock the phone line out, but knocked out a piece of equipment that Jay needs to get people on the air. So,
bear with us for another day.
Yeah,
maybe by next week we'll be
hopefully
up and going.
We'll be up and running. We will do the interview today in a different way. We will actually do it just like a phone conversation. Ronnie and I will swap up talking to the guys, but hopefully it'll work out.
Yeah.
If not, we'll know, hey, that don't work.
That's right. We'll do it different the next time. And then, hopefully around 5:30, Rex Chambers, our local fishing, he doesn't like us to say pro, but we'll say our local fishing expert will be joining us as he did the first year there of our show every Thursday. He would join us to tell us what was going on in the Erie Lakes, what they may be biting. The areas of the lake you may need to fish, where you need to fish deep, shallow, whatever the case may be. He is very knowledgeable, so I know a lot of you guys and gals listen to Rex to maybe pick up a tip or two to, put another fish in the boat or maybe put you a little closer to winning a tournament. Yeah. So Rex should be joining us about 5:30.
In the fishing line, and you may know more about this, Ronnie, than I do, this is something we have never talked about, and we've talked about a lot of things.
Okay.
Even in our private conversations, we've not talked about this. But I'm sitting at the house, I guess weekend before this past one, and late at night, and all of a sudden our back windows light up like a car is shining lights in my window. Now,
so we got headlights on
where,
the boat.
Yeah, somebody that don't know where I live on Lake George, so no car is behind me.
No, I don't think so.
And I get up. Kathy's already in bed fast asleep.
Yes.
And try to figure out what it is. Well, I see a boat coming right down the bank.
Yeah.
And that boat has something like car lights all the way around to the back of the boat.
I don't know what the purpose is, if that's what you're asking,
yeah,
but I saw that same...
We're testing, in case you're wondering.
Okay,
I saw that. Sounds like that's going to work. So, okay, y'all go ahead.
I saw that same pattern of a boat at Gunnersville one day. They were driving toward Coleman and had lights on a frame all the way around it.
Yeah, and...
I don't know.
They were running up close to the bank.
As long as they're not blue lights, you're okay.
Probably yeah. 3 to 5 feet off
yeah.
the bank. And the only thing I could come up with is, after watching Duck Dynasty, is they were frog gigging. Yeah, they weren't gigging. Yeah, they weren't gigging. I know they weren't gigging.
Maybe Rex knows.
Yeah, if they were gigging, they didn't have the gig up with them at that time. Because I watched them for a while, and they stayed at a couple of them at the front of the boat. And
yeah.
they were just sitting there going down the bank. So I don't know, you know, if they could have been gigging or jumping out, catching them like they do on Duck Dynasty.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
I don't know.
Or, you know, using meth or something.
Yeah,
who
they
knows?
Could have been hunting the meth they throw it out in my backyard. So.
And they go to any measures to find it. Need all the lights
yeah.
you get. I don't know. I've seen kind of what you're talking about, but maybe Rex will know.
Yeah,
we'll ask him.
And JR Sound just took a drastic change in here. For some reason, but
okay.
Now it's different again.
Yeah,
I hit some buttons.
Oh, Jay's working on it.
Let's talk just for a second, and this will be something else. I want to talk to, and there it goes, Chris. I nearly called him Greg again.
You better write it down.
Chris, about as far as I know, Ronnie, the Duke still missing from Auburn.
I haven't heard anything today, so I don't know.
And the last report that I was able to find, I looked this evening just before coming over here, was 2 days ago. And there's been no report of him back at practice. And
He's so completely AWOL.
Yeah, I'm beginning to wonder if we will see Williams back.
Well, and you may know this, you may not. Has he been with them at all this summer? I mean, as far as summer workouts, weightlifting, running, or anything that they're doing there?
As far as I know, and I only say that because I've seen nothing saying otherwise, so I just assumed
that he was.
Yeah, that
okay.
he was with them.
Okay. Very interesting, very hush-hush, very quiet. You know, mouths on. None of the coaches have a lot to say, you know, as far as specifics. And that's fine. That's certainly their prerogative.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, truth be known, that's a private matter within the team. And it really is not for, you know, it's nobody's business.
We don't want to go out and broadcast the world when our kids get in trouble. And
absolutely.
You know, it's pretty much the same thing on a different level. These kids are kind of like, look up to the coach, kind of like dad.
Yeah,
and dad's
right.
not around. Some of them's not had dad around any of their life.
That's right.
Wrong with them.
Absolutely. You got that right.
Too many dads are going AWOL.
Yes. Amen to that.
Leaving it up.
Always
have
been.
Leaving it up to the mom.
That's right.
So.
Boy, that's a whole topic you spend a lot of time on, couldn't you? But, and again, you said a word there several times, Jason, and another reason why, you know, we don't want to, you know, go off on a kid, certainly until there's some definite information, you know, that would warrant, you know, a reprimand or whatever, but you use the word kid, and that's what they are.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're still just, you know, 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old, you know, we can call them young men, and that's what they should be, and that's what they are, but they're still kids.
What age, honey, do you think we stop calling them kids? I mean, I know it's different with the different boys, but what age would you say is a good age? If you were on Family Feud and they asked the question, what age would a boy not be considered a kid?
I'm not going to say 18 because they're all, you know, even though they can join the service and, you know, we've been in that discussion for, you know, serve our country and carry a gun and those kind of things. But I would throw out number 20.
Number 20.
That'd just be what I'd throw out.
I would
but
go
still,
with,
you know.
Yeah, I would go with probably 21.
Yeah. You know, yours is probably much more valid than mine, Jason, because if a kid's in college, we call them college kids.
Yeah.
you know, 21-22, you know. So everybody.
And these kids, and this is something we talked about before, they can join the service, go to Iraq or Iran, do all that,
absolutely,
and fire a gun.
Yeah.
They can drive a missile down the road at 100 miles an hour, but can't drink beer till they get 21.
That's right.
So that, again, another topic maybe for Jay and Melissa to tackle sometime.
not for us to tackle.
Right.
But again, every, quote, kid is different. You know, some kids are just naturally mature,
right,
all their life, like a Tyler Spiegel. That's one.
Well, I hope he's not listening. His head's sweating.
But that's true. I mean, he was always, even as a young kid in school, he was always very mature, acted much older than his age. And every kid is different.
Right.
Well, you didn't ask my opinion, but I'm going to interject anyway because I'm here and want to feel useful.
Sure.
At what age does he or she start paying his own bills and have to, you know, make his way in the world?
When he
that's the age.
For me, when after as soon as he or she has their own job, that's the time I consider that they should be paying some of their own bills.
Yep.
You know, it's kind of hard to if your kid's in college, say, and you don't require them to get a job and go to work, that you're going to take care of them while they're in college, then it's kind of hard to expect them to pay part of their rent or, you know, part of the power bill or buy their own groceries when, mm-hmm, when really their job is a full-time student. Now, once they walk across the stage and they get their diploma, then they start getting a paycheck, then they need to come off of mom and dad's
right.
Yeah, and
wallet.
I think that's pretty standard. I mean, I see a lot of that out there, but that first initial, I mean, I remember it well. I'm not going to talk about it too much because it wound up being more pool time than probably privileged for me. But
no,
I had worked two or three jobs in college. Actually, one of them was in radio. You know, I always loved it. That wasn't really a job. That was just, you know, a weekend way to pay, you know, some additional expenses.
Sure.
But I had saved up a couple of grand. I got done in college in 2000, and the IT world had just taken a tumble because of Y2K. Everyone had upgraded everything right before 2000. And then come May 2000, and I'm graduating. So I had enough money saved up that I decided to take that first summer off and just, you know, pay my apartment rent out of the money that I had saved and spent it by the pool. And there were times where I had wrapped up a cordless phone and a towel on the side of the pool waiting for the phone to ring so I'd actually had job, you know, work to do. I thought that would last forever, man, because, you know, I had all this. It lasted maybe 2 months.
Yeah, absolutely. So
that was my wake-up call.
Yeah. As soon as you can get your kid off of your payroll and get them on their own, that's just more of they figure out what real life is. And, it's real easy to spend mom and dad's money.
Yep. Now, how to tie that back into sports. Had I been smart enough back then to wager it on the right team, maybe it would have lasted 6 months.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Speaking of wagering, I know a circumstance where a kid went to college and was able to live off mom and dad, ended up not even attending class. He was just doing his thing during the day, but got into some of the sports betting. And mom and dad wasn't checking the credit card too close.
Uh-oh.
And the next thing you know, he's rung up between $10,000 and
$15,000
in gambling.
Ooh.
And
sounds like my early years in the stock market.
Yeah,
wow.
He called that the end of his college career.
I was going to say, that probably ended his career there at school. But, hey, talking about wagering, Jason and Chris, who's going to be joining us here shortly, just real quick before we have to go to a break make a phone call. We do have a couple of games, two or three games coming up here next weekend, Jason, some football games. We've got locally our high school teams that are playing. We have Cold Springs. They will be playing Brilliant next Friday night.
And Lenny, from what I hear, 21st. Cold Springs should be pretty strong this year. You know, they come on, had a good season last
season. Made the playoffs.
And I think they're looking for even better things this year. In a tough region there with Addison, Tanner, all falling into that region, but they held their own last year.
They did. So Addison plays. I'm sorry, Cold Springs plays next week against Brilliant. They're on the road. You mentioned Addison. Addison also plays next week. They play at home against Pickens County, and then there's two other games. Cullman plays. They play at home against Arab, and then a game that's also not in our county, but the Meek Tigers play on at home against Phillips. So we've got, again, we have Cold Springs playing next week, and we have Cullman playing next week. Those are schools within, you know, our Cullman County School District. So we wish them the best of luck, and I'm sure come next week we'll be picking those games, see who the winners are going to be. And
Player of the Week just around the corner.
That's right, absolutely.
All right, the music means it's time for a break, and while we're on break, we will be trying to get in touch with Chris Andrews of AgainstTheNumber.com. Stay with us. I think you're going to enjoy what he has to say. You're listening to Sports Talk Live 95.5, Cullman.
Hey there, Bob Baumhauer here. Last year, the Alabama State Park celebrated our 75th anniversary, but the fun really never ends. I'm happy because this year, special events and new promotions will help us reach out to those who have yet to visit a state park. In addition to providing family fun, our parks are located in some of the most beautiful parts of Alabama. So plan your next visit today. But this year, reach out and bring a friend. For more information, call 1-800-ALAPARK or go to alapark.com.
Brought to you by Alabama State Parks, the ABA, and this station.
Are you ready to take your music to the next level? Need to know how to kickstart your music career? How to get your music published and licensed? And the million-dollar question, how to get your music played on the radio? Baker Productions has the answer to these and many more questions you may have about the music industry. From demos to full production, they have the tools to get your music to the masses. From audio and video studios to copyrights, publishing, and mastering, MP3s to downloads from your website, YouTube, or Facebook page, they have the tools and experience to help get your music on track. See where your music career can lead at Baker Productions, 256-739-0388.
Hello, I'm Gary Taylor, conductor of the Cullman Community Band, and I'd like to extend an invitation to you to join the band. We just completed our 10th season, having started back in 2005, and currently have around 50 members. Our members range in age from 18 to 85 and come from all walks of life. The band performs at several events around Cullman, such as Oktoberfest and the Strawberry Festival, as well as concerts at Christmas and during the spring. In fact, the Christmas concert is part of the Cullman Community Concert Association series. We rehearse on Monday nights at the Cullman Middle School Band Room from 6:30 until 8:30. The band season begins after Labor Day and goes through the end of May. We take summers off. If you have experience playing a band instrument, no matter how many years it's been since you've played, we'd love to have you join us. You can contact me at 256-636-2754 or any band member. The first rehearsal of the new season is Monday night, September 14. Hope to see you then.
If you haven't visited Scissors Salon, what are you waiting for? Walk-ins are always welcome at Scissors. Scissors has a fresh new look and comforts with you in mind. At Scissors, it's all about you. Friendly professional service and attention to detail. That's Scissors. Scissors Salon, Highway 278 East, 1/2 mile past the water plant. Just look for the big scissors on the roof. Scissors, 735-3089. 735-3089. That's Scissors.
Welcome back to Sports Talk Live. I'm going to turn things over to Jason Spiegel, who is on the phone. Go ahead, Jason.
Welcome, everyone, back to the show, Sports Talk Live. And with me, I have Chris Andrews. Chris, welcome. Your first time to Sports Talk Live.
My very first time, so be gentle.
How are you, man? And we can't tell you how much we appreciate you joining us. Greg done a great job last year, and boy, he built a mountain for you because of all the praise he threw your way.
Well, I'm going to have to tell Greg I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I hope I don't fall flat on my face here and disappoint you guys.
Hey, Chris, tell us a little bit about yourself and AgainstTheNumber.com. Just kind of tell everyone who you are and what you do, and get everybody familiar with you.
Well, I'll try to give you the brief explanation of how I got here, Ross. I have a feeling I'm a lot older than you guys and probably most of your listeners. Came to Vegas in 79, went to Reno in 81, ran a sports book there in Reno, the Club Calneva, until 2003, and actually, it was a closed corporation, a sub-S if any accountants are out there, and a closed corporation, they made me a partner in it. So I was one of the owners, so I was a casino owner and a bookmaker, which is what I'm probably best known for. But in 03, my cousin bought the Golden Nugget in Las Vegas, so I left Calneva, which was probably about the dumbest thing I ever did. Went down to Las Vegas. My cousin sold a Golden Nugget a year and a half later. And since that time, I worked for another pretty big outfit here in Nevada, American Wagering. You know, I'm vice president of Northern Nevada operations. I got out of that. I spent a couple years in finance. And then my old company, the Calneva, was being bought by William Hill, a big English concern. And they asked me to come back. I kind of orchestrated like the one, they call it a work streams. So I did the bookmaking work stream, just got everything set for the transition. There's three companies being bought by a fourth company. So it was quite a project. I was in Reno, I had a lot of people in Vegas, I had people in London, I had people in Leeds, trying to get it all coordinated. So once it got finalized, I didn't... You know, I'm not crazy about working for big corporations, although I would have left the door open, certainly working for William Hill, but I didn't like the offer they gave me. So since that time, I've just been on my own, kind of doing my own thing. I do a lot of writing. I actually have two books right now that are being edited. I'm hoping to get them published very soon.
Oh, wow.
Done some radio work. I do podcasts. And Against the Number, I formed with a couple other partners just to... You know, and listen, it's a money. We're trying to make money off of it, so we're.
Right, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, so I mean, we're going to talk a little bit about the magazine, I know, and I'm going to have a yearly package where we'll give out picks, and you can see all our picks from last year. We had a pretty good year. Hopefully, do the same this year, or even a little better. And we'll be doing that sort of thing. We'll have power ratings, and we'll sell a weekly picks too, although we don't have them available yet. We're only selling our yearly package in the magazine, and that's how we're trying to make a little bit of money out of it.
And the magazine, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, the magazine is a new venture for you, right?
It's a new venture for me, yes. I worked on a magazine last year, and I didn't like the final product. And then this year I decided, you know what, I can, rather than work for him, I can do this myself. And we ran into a ton of technological problems. And I know, Jason, you've seen it, and what we have out so far, I think is terrific, and
I do too.
Anybody's in the industry, or even better, but it's not complete. I still got three more conferences I have to get put out. It was supposed to be done June 1st. But anybody that's ever been involved with computers and technology and all that other stuff, they don't always tell you the truth as to what's going on. So we kind of fell into that trap. But it's good because once we do get it done, everything will be convertible for next year. So next year we'll have everything out at a much earlier time. But like I said, what we do have out, I think, is better than anybody else's on the market right now.
Awesome. And that's what I told you, Chris, and I'm not just saying this because you're on the radio with me and kind enough to do that, but I looked over the magazine, and I am beyond impressed. I've looked at a lot of sports magazines through the years, and someone who's wanting to maybe wager a few dollars, this is the magazine you need. This is the magazine that tells you everything. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, I am thoroughly impressed. I can't wait to show it to Ronnie and let him take a look at it.
Well, I think there's some good ones out there, but the way that they do it, they kind of dance around the subject of betting. They'll tell you this is, you know, projected wins, and I got my power rating, and I did this. Well, I decided I don't want to dance around it. First of all, I live in Nevada. It's legal here. Plus, you know, Listen, I deal with people all over the country. I mean, it might not be quote-unquote legal, but everybody's doing it, and everybody knows everybody's doing it.
Right.
So there's no reason, really, to dance around it. So I just put it in the thing, and let's say probably my biggest competitor would be Phil Steele, and he has a terrific product. There's no question about it. But I think if you are a handicapper or a bettor, you have to kind of interpret what he's saying and put that into your own, either your own numbers or your own logic on how you want to bet football games. And here I'm just trying to address it a little more directly. Now, certainly you can disagree with me.
Right.
I think that's fine. But I do have it in a numerical breakdown that you could look at very easily, and like I said, convert that to your own thinking as far as making a bet.
Right. Around here, Ronnie and I kid all the time, and we like to say, use the term, for entertainment purposes only. So, hey, looking at the magazine and your power ratings, everybody in the country, I think, has Ohio State penciled in as number one. I see you went with Ohio State as number one and followed by Alabama at number two, which is going to please Ronnie. But tell our listeners what you see in Alabama that you think makes them deserving of a number two ranking.
Well, the first thing you could see in my magazine is the recruiting rankings. And I only run them for 3 years because I really think that's the only thing that's really important as far as evaluating this particular team. Well, they're number one 3 years in a row. You know, so they are getting an awful lot of talent. Now, of course, you're right in the heart of, you know, the best football-producing region of the country, talent-wise. And Nick Saban's picking off the best of that bunch. Of course, Nick is a pretty darn good coach, too. Now, they've fallen down a couple of times in the last year or so. I think their offensive line has maybe disappointed them. I think last year, maybe some quarterback play was not quite what it was. You know, they got their butts handed to them pretty good by Ohio State in the end. Maybe their defense wasn't quite as good as it should have been. But they're still a top ranked team, top-notch team. I think they're going to be awfully tough to beat. But you are coming out of that, you know, the Western Division of the SEC, and there's going to be a lot of tough competitors in that. So it's going to be hard to get out of there unscathed. And I think they'll probably lose a game or two. I'm not sure exactly where and when, but it's going to be tough getting out of there for anybody. But I do think they are the best team on paper right now in the SEC coming into the season.
Hey, Chris, this is Ronnie. Roll Tide on that. I can tell you right now, you and I are going to get along great. Especially when you've got Alabama sitting at number two.
Let me warn you right now, Ronnie. I've spent 30 years as a bookmaker.
Yeah.
I pretty much hate everybody.
Oh.
So, you know, I might say something nice today and something rotten tomorrow.
Yeah, it depends on what they do to your banking account, doesn't it?
Exactly right, yeah.
Oh, man. Hey, Chris, let me ask you, you said you're out there in Nevada. What's the feel, and this is kind of going off of the cuff a little bit, what's the feel of people out there about the SEC in general?
Well, you know, it's funny. I told you I write articles, and I write for one of the bigger gaming-related papers called Gaming Today, and anybody can go there and see all my work, and you can go to my website, too, and see it all. And I wrote about, you know, who are the strongest conferences coming into this season, and I went through and I did power ratings, averages, and medians, and all that sort of thing, and the SEC pretty much blew everybody away, and I don't think it was anybody's surprise, although there is a little bit of resentment, I could tell you that. Here in Nevada, we do have a pretty good cross-section from around the country, and of course, a lot of a Pac-12 influence being really right in the heart of it in the West Coast. So there's some resentment, there's no doubt, but as a bookmaker for many years, and now, of course, I'm a handicapper, but you have to look at things very coldly, logically, and you know, the numbers speak for themselves. The SEC is just the best. from top to bottom, certainly.
Yes, I mean, there's no way that you can, there's no argument, no matter where you live in the country, who you root for, you know, what conference you love, whether it's, you know, the Pac out west or the Big Ten or, you know, whatever you pull for, you have to give the SEC, you know, their credit and their due of what they've done, you know, especially, you know, really since, you know, the 08, 09, you know, on, they've kind of dominated, you know, college football. So, hey, but I got, here's a quick.
Martin and that Tennessee team won the
that's right.
national championship. That's a long time. Hey. They've been on top since then.
Absolutely. Hey, here's a question I've got for you, Chris. We've got Oregon, UCLA, and Auburn. They're locked up at 91 for the number four spot. Which of the four do you think have the best chance to make it to the 14 playoff?
Well, you know, I'd have to go with the chalk. You know, I think Ohio State certainly has to be the favorite. I think Florida State, you know, I know a lot of people are picking Clemson out of there, and I like Clemson, love their quarterback. I think the kid's great. I think Florida State will not be as bad as people think. I still think they'll win that ACC, and just the fact that they have that pedigree, I do think they will get in. Of course, we know, looking at last year, one of the conferences, at least one will get shut out. It could be more. Who knows?
Right.
But I think Florida State gets in there. You know, I think TCU, because I think it's going to be either they or Baylor, either one. And I don't think they'll be denied again this year, just after what happened last year. I think you, if they have any sort of season similar to what we saw last year, I think one of those two teams has to be included. Of course, you know, Oklahoma could jump up out of that conference, too. But right now, I'm thinking it's got to be TCU or Baylor. And it leaves a fourth team. You know, right now, I know a lot of people, you know, don't have UCLA ranked as high as I do now. So I get down here, I'm leaving the SEC out. I don't think it would be hard to deny an SEC champion, no matter who comes out of there. Unless it's somebody like with four losses or something like that. Let's say a Tennessee sneaks in out of the Eastern Division,
yeah.
gets in there and upsets Bama or Auburn or Arkansas or even Mississippi. I think it's going to be really tough, too. I guess then it's possible. So, you know, I don't know. Somebody's going to be dealt out. And I hate to say this, especially on the air here with you guys, but I almost hope the SEC does, because I think that would make them change right away. I really think we need an 18 tournament. I've campaigned.
Thanks for your time. We enjoyed having you on the show.
I know you can't have everything, but if an SEC team does get somehow squeezed out of the championship, I think we would see a change like right away. And so I'm kind of rooting for that in a way, just not to deny the SEC, but to see the tournament expand to eight teams. I think that's what we need to do.
Yeah, I'm glad you touched on that, because that was going to be a question I asked you. Do you like the 14 playoff, or would you like to see it, you know, extended, you know, to a six or an eight? So you've already answered that for me.
Yeah, I think, you know, right now, I mean, you look at last year, what TCU won their last game by like 50 or something and dropped in the polls.
Yes.
How does that make any
yes.
sense? It just shows that we can't make this fair. You just can't.
Right.
I mean, and you knew it going in. There's five power conferences and four slots.
Exactly.
Somebody is going to get screwed.
No doubt.
Depends on how you look at it. It's either TCU or Baylor that got screwed.
Right.
So, but one of them certainly did. And, God, I'll tell you what, at the end of the year, if you're looking, I know according to my numbers, I thought TCU was the second best team in the country at the end of the year.
I thought they deserved to be there, too. So,
yeah, and I think, you know, that Boykins, you know, I love that kid.
Yes.
He had a fantastic year last year. And, boy, I tell you what, given Ohio State certainly as tough a match as anybody else that was in that tournament.
Absolutely. Hey, let's move to the Alabama schedule and, of course, then the Auburn schedule. Who do you think on the Alabama schedule could, you know, I don't know if I should use the word upset or not, but you think could possibly beat Alabama this year, whether it's one team, two teams, three teams, whatever. What do you think?
Well, you know, unfortunately, in that conference, or in that division even, you have some really good teams. Now, they play Mississippi at home. I think Mississippi's going to be very good. You know, I think Bama certainly should win that game. And they go at Georgia. Of course, that's out of the division, but they go at Georgia. I mean, that's going to be a real dogfight. I think that's going to be a tough game.
Right.
I have that rated just about a pick 'em. You know, they got Arkansas at home, and again, they're kind of fortunate to be playing some of these teams at home. They go at Texas A&M. I'm not sure exactly what A&M is going to have this year. I think defense, obviously, a big worry for A&M. You know, Bama should win that one. You know, they get Tennessee at home, and I think Tennessee, a lot of people are expecting them to be vastly improved, including me.
Right.
But they get them at home. They get LSU at home. They travel to Miss State, who I think is going to be down quite a bit this year, and I know a lot of people agree with me, and I think that they're right. Love Prescott, but
yes,
they lost a lot of players around him. Then, of course, that last game of the year, they're at Auburn. I have that game at about a pick 'em, so you got a couple of pick 'em games. By the way, I didn't even mention first game of the year they play Wisconsin.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I mean, it's going to be pretty good. I mean, I think if Wisconsin wins, it would be an upset, but I don't think anybody would be shocked by seeing a good Wisconsin team that can run the ball and play some pretty good defense. They have some pretty serious quarterback problems themselves.
Right.
So I think Bama wins that game. But, I mean, there's some real trouble spots on that schedule. I think they're the best team, but, you know, I was just working on my NFL season wins today, and I'm looking at the Packers. They have them the best team. I got them with 11 wins. Well, that means they're going to lose five. You know, and
right,
the SEC is almost, I don't want to call them the NFL, that's really not true.
Right.
But competition-wise, it's so good and so balanced that even if Bama could be the best team in the country, or Auburn, or, you know, I think Mississippi's probably in the conversation too, that they could be the best team in the country and still have like 2-3 losses. I think that's very possible.
Exactly. What about Auburn? Who do you think may get Auburn, or multiple teams that might get Auburn?
Well, let me go to my Auburn schedule here. You know, so they open with Louisville, who's, you know, usually pretty tough. I think Auburn probably handle them. You know, see, they don't have the best of the schedule, I don't think, like Bama does. So they go at LSU. Now they play Mississippi State at home, but I don't think that'll be that tough of a game. Again, they play at Kentucky. They should handle Kentucky. Now they play at Arkansas. That's going to be a tough game. I think Arkansas is going to be very, very good this year. Another year of Bielema.
I agree.
Nice veteran quarterback. Pretty good squad. I mean, he's been building the roster talent-wise. You know, you go into Arkansas, I tell you what, the way that team's playing right now, where that program's at, that's going to be a tough game. I don't care who you are. Then they play Mississippi, and again, I've talked about Mississippi. I think Mississippi's going to be very, very good this year. Then they got Georgia. Should be favored over Georgia. They got Georgia at home, but again, we don't know exactly what to expect out of Georgia, but that team is usually pretty solid. I know they have a new quarterback this year and a new offensive coordinator and some things there, and that can go either way, but I have a feeling it's going to go Georgia's way. I think they're going to be very good. And, of course, they got Bama in that last game, which I got rated pretty much a pick 'em. So I see them being a couple points power rating-wise below Bama, but I don't think they have the favorable schedule that Bama does, and that's why I picked them. I picked Bama's season win totals to be a little bit higher.
Okay, great. Hey, I got one more question, then I'll let Jason have it back. You've projected Auburn, that we were just talking about, to have 8.6 wins this season. Do you think Auburn is more likely to win more or less?
Well, the .6 points a little bit to the over.
Exactly.
So I devised a program. We plugged in the numbers. Like I said, you try to be as coldly logical as you can.
Yes.
It's hard to do because we all have emotions. We all have
sure,
our favorite teams and that sort of thing. But I try to do this and just really take the subjectivity out of it as much as possible. So they came to 8.6. So with a gun to my head, I guess I'd say over, but it's very, very close.
Okay. Alabama is basically at 9 wins.
Over or under?
You know, I could tell you this. You don't get rich betting against Nick Saban.
Exactly.
You know, I think, and again, even though it's a 9.4, so kind of leans a little towards under 9.5, I'd have to say over. It just seems like he's the kind of guy, there's going to be one or two close games during the season that I think Saban will pull out. And, you know, it's funny you mention that because I was on the air with some people from Southern California, and I said the exact opposite about the USC coach. I think there's going to be a couple games in the season going to be laying right there, and Sarkisian's going to blow them.
Right.
You know, I think coaching makes a huge difference. Well, it makes it everywhere, but particularly in college football. And, you know, Saban probably going to mean a win somewhere along the line.
Exactly.
Maybe they don't deserve.
Exactly. You know, and Jason and I, we talked about this back last spring, and I don't remember the number, but and you may. It seemed like Alabama had been favored in like 60 straight games, just an astronomical amount that they were favored to win.
I don't know the number. Somebody didn't mention that. It might be 60. I don't know.
I don't know, but it was a huge number.
Yeah, I think it was the Tim Tebow's Florida team. I think that's the last time they were in the underdog. So how long ago was that?
That was in 09. Yeah, that was 09.
09, okay.
Yeah.
That's when I think somebody pointed that out to me.
Yeah, I mean, what can you say to that? That's impressive.
Well, like I said, you know, the first thing you do, first of all, the guy's a great coach, period.
Sure.
I mean, if he was coaching, I mean, he proved that at Michigan State and, you know, did it at LSU, of course.
Right.
Pretty good school there, too. But then you give him the best talent in the country, and the guy's going to be tough to beat.
Oh, isn't that? That's for sure. You know, it's just not,
yeah, so,
you know, he selects, you know. I mean, they talk about people, you know, trying to sign these kids, you know. He's to the point where he just kind of selects, or it's kind of like a draft for him, you know. So it's
yeah,
impressive.
It seems like it. I was listening to Paul Feinbaum last year on the day, the National Letter of Intent Day, and Feinbaum said, "My God, this isn't even fair anymore." I know Paul really likes Bama.
Yes, oh yeah.
But he was kind of right. You know, it was, he's really loaded the deck pretty good, but that's part of the game.
That is.
I tell you, that recruiting's part of the game.
Absolutely. Ask Kentucky, you know, ask Calipari that, you know, up in Kentucky. So, hey, I got one more question for you, Chris, and I'm going to give it to Jason. Who do you have as your top two teams in the West, and then who do you have as your top two teams in the East?
Well, I think the East, you know, I think it's a pretty easy answer. It's got to be Georgia and Tennessee. I kind of saw Tennessee coming last year. I really was impressed. I have a lot of, and you'll see them if you go through the magazine, a lot of internal metrics I look at that, you know, other than just the score, to try to get a real feel for how a team is performing. Because sometimes, I mean, you've watched football your whole life. One play here or there can really upset a score, and you don't really get a true feel for how good that team is. But I think Tennessee is really... they're really coming with their recruiting. I think Jones doing a pretty good job as a coach. A lot of expectations this year, and sometimes that can go against you. I know that, and I think the Tennessee fans are really rabid to try to get that team back up to where they were, but I still have to put them the second-best team. And, of course, Georgia, I think, is going to be good. You know, I think they always are. And, you know, Rick seems to get a lot of... bad press from some of the people around Georgia, but I think the guy's a good, solid coach, and I think he'll have him there. Now, the West, you know, I got to put Bama number one. I mean, they're pretty clearly number one, but that second slot, you know, I'm not sure, you know, even sometimes who wins the most games might always not mean who the best team is. You know, I kind of think Mississippi... You know, I don't know. As soon as I say that, and then I want to say Auburn or Arkansas, so I don't know. I think between Auburn, Arkansas, Mississippi, those three teams will be fighting out for the second-best team. But, you know, really, when you're talking about this level of competition, any one of those four teams that I mentioned could win that division. Anybody under that, I guess A&M would be... Even they would be pretty much a surprise. And I think Mississippi State can be down quite a bit this year.
No, Okay.
Oh, and LSU. I didn't even mention
that. Yeah.
Yeah, I had them. I mean, I don't think that would shock anybody there either.
No, it would not.
Probably if they won it, I think it would surprise a few people. But they'll be right there. They're going to be awfully tough.
Okay. Okay, thanks, Chris.
Okay, thank you, Ronnie.
Chris, this is Jason back with you. And, man, we have kept you longer than we meant to. I had four or five more questions, but time's not going to allow me to do it. But before we let you get gone for a week, tell everyone how they can find the magazine, your website, and anything else you'd want them to find.
Well, you can find my website. It's againstthenumber.com. So two T's in the middle there, againstthenumber.com. You can see some stuff about the magazine. Now, if you want to go right to the magazine, I think it's ATN-magazine. And I think there you get a free download. So even if you don't like the magazine, I know we're talking to a couple of probably hardcore fans. It's going to be tough to convince. But go to the main website, againstthenumber.com. Just put the magazine, e-magazine, or just under the college football tab, and there's a magazine tab. You get a free download of the AAC, the All-American Conference, and that's with Cincinnati and South Florida and teams like that. So you could get that for free, kind of see what we're all about. If you like it, and go ahead and purchase the magazine. $20, I think you probably won't be disappointed. But anybody that signs up for our yearly package, that's the Weekend Warrior, $249 for the NFL and college for the entire season. You get a free copy of the magazine when you do that. So that's probably your best bargain.
Yeah,
either way,
that's
go
a good deal.
Take a look.
And that magazine again.
Twitter. I'm sorry?
I said that magazine again. I just can't see enough good things about it. I can't wait to get home tonight and look at it some more.
Well, I really do appreciate it, and I appreciate you having me on the air and everything else. And I just want to mention real quick, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Andrews Sports, and two S's in the middle there, at Andrews Sports. I give away a lot of free information on Twitter. If, you know, a lot of times I don't charge people for things. We give them, like to do a lot with horse racing and that sort of thing. So anyway, I think I'm a pretty good follow there. So follow me, email me, easy to email me, chris@againstthenumber.com. Love to hear from guys. So
all right.
And I got to say, it was a pleasure doing the show, and I'd love to do it again.
Yes, sir, Chris. We look forward to talking to you again next week and picking your brain for some picks as the season gets closer. So until next week, have a safe week. And, man, I hope everything goes your way. And, again, how much we appreciate you joining us.
Thank you. Try to stay out of the lightning, huh?
Yeah, we'll try to. Thanks a lot, Chris.
See you guys later. Talk to you next week.
All right. All right, we'll be right back. I'm going to take a short break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Sports Talk 5, the Thursday edition.
Hey there, Bob Baumhauer here. Last year, the Alabama State Park celebrated our 75th anniversary, but the fun really never ends. I'm happy because this year, special events and new promotions will help us reach out to those who have yet to visit a state park. In addition to providing family fun, our parks are located in some of the most beautiful parts of Alabama. So plan your next visit today. But this year, reach out and bring a friend. For more information, call 1-800-ALAPARK or go to alapark.com.
Brought to you by Alabama State Parks, the ABA, and this station.
Are you ready to take your music to the next level? Need to know how to kickstart your music career? How to get your music published and licensed? And the million-dollar question, how to get your music played on the radio? Baker Productions has the answer to these and many more questions you may have about the music industry. From demos to full production, they have the tools to get your music to the masses. From audio and video studios to copyrights, publishing, and mastering, MP3s to downloads from your website, YouTube, or Facebook page, they have the tools and experience to help get your music on track. See where your music career can lead at Baker Productions, 256-739-0388.
Hello, I'm Gary Taylor, conductor of the Coleman Community Band, and I'd like to extend an invitation to you to join the band. We just completed our 10th season,
having started back in 2005 and currently have around 50 members. Our members range in age from 18 to 85 and come from all walks of life. The band performs at several events around Coleman, such as Oktoberfest and the Strawberry Festival, as well as concerts at Christmas and during the spring. In fact, the Christmas concert is part of the Coleman Community Concert Association series. We rehearse on Monday nights at the Coleman Middle School Band Room from 6:30 until 8:30. The band season begins after Labor Day and goes through the end of May. We take summers off. If you have experience playing a band instrument, no matter how many years it's been since you've played, we'd love to have you join us. You can contact me at 256-636-2754 or any band member. The first rehearsal of the new season is Monday night, September 14. Hope to see you then.
If you haven't visited Scissors Salon, what are you waiting for? Walk-ins are always welcome at Scissors. Scissors has a fresh new look and comforts with you in mind. At Scissors, it's all about you. Friendly professional service and attention to detail. That's Scissors. Scissors Salon, Highway 278 East, 1/2 mile past the water plant. Just look for the big scissors on the roof. Scissors, 735-3089. 735-3089. That's Scissors.
From out in Las Vegas or Nevada area, somewhere. When was it, Las Vegas,
yeah,
Jason?
Yeah, he's actually in Nevada. He said he had been in Reno, and okay, he's in Nevada. And Ronnie, I think
he's kind of like Dan,
a big addition. Yeah, he can talk the game and talks a lot more than Greg did, which that makes it easier on us.
Oh, sure it does. The thing that, Jason, we were talking about while we were off the air that kind of perked my attention or made my ears stand up is when I think he said his cousin at one time owned the Gold Nugget.
Is
that not a huge casino in Vegas?
Yeah, I'm not sure how big it is now. You know, a lot of the casino, the Gold Nugget was a huge name in
Vegas. In its day.
Yeah, in the 70s and early 80s. But I think some of the other casinos now have kind of taken over. But
yeah.
Hey, I don't care if you own a small casino. You're talking about millions upon millions of dollars.
So. Yeah. Well, yeah, when he said Gold Nugget, I thought, my goodness, you know.
To give everyone a feel of, if you've never been to a casino, power to you, more power to you, but if you sit in there and look at the lights and all, and just, you can imagine how much money is tied up in that. But the Horseshoe Casino in Tunica, Mississippi, I was told this by someone who worked there. The first night they opened, they cleared between $4 and $5 million. Now, they cleared between $4 and $5 million.
I wonder how much they paid out.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah, I wonder what the percentage is. It can't be much.
No, the the slot machines, they generally, I think, pay out 97-point-something% up to 98%. You know, and it's regulated by the state of Mississippi.
What do you mean they pay out?
For every dollar they take in, basically they're going to make about 3 or 4 cents. So that's to make it short and sweet.
That's all?
They pay out 97% of the money, so they're keeping about 3%.
I thought it would have been much higher. I mean, are you saying they're paying out to winners, or they're paying out for all their expenses?
No, they're paying out to winners. Yeah, they're paying out to winners. 97-98%. And that is required by the state of Mississippi. So the Gaming Commission state of Mississippi, yeah. So basically all of them is pretty close. You know, you'll get some areas that's...
So you're telling me if 100 people go in and play the slots, 97 out of that 100 is going to leave, they're going to win money off those slots?
No. That may pay out, if you've got 100 slot machines... That 97% may be paid out of two machines. You may have a jackpot winner over here. But overall, they're going to pay out 97 cents of every dollar that's taken in. It's going to go out to winners.
Okay.
And you know, you may win $5 here, and then you may lose 15 spins in a row, and then hit another $5. Well, all that's calculated.
I was thinking, how do they keep the doors open?
You know, it's... And it is a high percentage, but when you think about how many million upon millions of dollars goes through there in a weekend.
Right.
If you're making 3%.
Yeah.
Well, you're making a ton of money.
I was going to say, so. You go in there today and somebody offered you, 1%.
Oh, yeah.
You'd be all over that, wouldn't
right.
you?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and any percent in the gambling world is a positive. So. in blackjack and card games, blackjack is your best odds of any game, anything over there, really.
Uh-huh.
You've got better odds. The worst odds, other than slot machines, is the roulette table.
Right.
And the roulette, to give you an example of that, there's 38 numbers, I think, and they pay 35-1. If you put it on number 5 and the little ball lands on number 5,
yeah.
they pay out 35-1. Well, there's 38 numbers, so you're losing right to start with.
Right.
But you'll see the roulette table, covered up.
Covered up.
People that likes to hit.
Yeah.
Hit one every once in a while.
Take the big gamble, for lack of a better word.
Right.
So, but hey, again, a special thanks to Chris Andrews for joining us today and every Thursday to give us some insight about games that you might want to look at, picking, as Jason always says, for entertainment purposes only.
Hey, I want to remind everybody, I know we have a lot of new listeners because there's a lot more people that know about the station this year than last year, but you can tune in to any of this stuff on demand after the show, at least once I get it uploaded, live95coleman.com. So if you missed any of that that phone interview, you'll be able to find that probably an hour or two after the show ends tonight.
Yeah, and I'll go back and listen to that one tonight because I'm interested in listening a little closer to some things he said. One thing, and which is, this is pretty big, and people that don't play for entertainment purposes.
The biggest thing he said.
Probably don't realize.
What the biggest thing he said was?
I'm sure it's got something to do with Alabama. So. The biggest thing
don't
in my
make
mind,
money betting against Nick Saban. That's
right. That's right.
The biggest thing in my mind, he said, is that he was an odds maker.
Yeah.
And that's pretty big. If you're setting the odds for people to gamble on, you are pretty high.
High up the chain, aren't you?
Yeah, anybody could be a handicapper.
Okay.
You and I could open up a business being a handicapper, but to be an odds maker, I don't really even know how you would go about that because you've got to be way up the food chain to set the odds.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
See, that just kind of went over my head.
Mm-hmm. You are setting the line that everybody else in the United States and other countries are using to bet. And he's not the only one, but he would be one of them.
He's within a group,
right?
I guess that sets that.
So
that's impressive.
So we've made a pretty good catch.
Hit a home run, right?
Yeah.
And we got another home run coming up here in about 3 or 4 minutes. When we're Dan, as Jason says, the Book of Knowledge. Vasta joins
Dan
us.
Dan the man
joins us from Chicago, Illinois. We ask the question, and then he takes over from there.
It's easy. Put it in cruise control.
That's it.
All right, 4:57. On your way home, keep the radio right where it's at, and we'll be back with Dan Vasta. Talk a little football and
from Campus Insider.
Yeah, Campus Insider, Chicago area.
That's right.
Stay with us. We'll be right back. Sports Talk Live, 95.5, Thursday edition.
Bob Baumhauer here. Last year, the Alabama State Park celebrated our 75th anniversary, but the fun really never ends. I'm happy because this year, special events and new promotions will help us reach out to those who have yet to visit a state park. In addition to providing family fun, our parks are located in some of the most beautiful parts of Alabama. So plan your next visit today. But this year, reach out and bring a friend. For more information, call 1-800-ALAPARK or go to alapark.com.
Brought to you by Alabama State Parks, the ABA, and this station.
Are you ready to take your music to the next level? Need to know how to kickstart your music career? How to get your music published and licensed? And the million-dollar question, how to get your music played on the radio?
Baker Productions has the answer to these and many more questions you may have about the music industry. From demos to full production, they have the tools to get your music to the masses. From audio and video studios to copyrights, publishing, and mastering, MP3s to downloads from your website, YouTube, or Facebook page, they have the tools and experience to help get your music on track. See where your music career can lead at Baker Productions, 256-739-0388.
Hello, I'm Gary Taylor, conductor of the Coleman Community Band, and I'd like to extend an invitation to you to join the band. We just completed our 10th season, having started back in 2005, and currently have around 50 members. Our members range in age from 18 to 85 and come from all walks of life. The band performs at several events around Coleman, such as Oktoberfest and the Strawberry Festival, as well as concerts at Christmas and during the spring. In fact, the Christmas concert is part of the Coleman Community Concert Association series. We rehearse on Monday nights at the Coleman Middle School Band Room from 6:30 until 8:30. The band season begins after Labor Day and goes through the end of May. We take summers off. If you have experience playing a band instrument, no matter how many years it's been since you've played, we'd love to have you join us. You can contact me at 256-636-2754 or any band member. The first rehearsal of the new season is Monday night, September 14. Hope to see you then.
Welcome back to Sports Talk Live 95.5. Coleman on the line with us, a regular that spent a lot of time with us last year, and man, we call him the Book of Knowledge. Dan, welcome back to Sports Talk Live.
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Hey, it is great. Have you had a good summer?
I have had a great summer here. Nothing crazy in terms of 100 degrees or anything, so it's kind of probably been like summer weather for you guys. Would be like spring, probably.
Oh, wow, yeah. It has been tough here.
We haven't really had too much above maybe upper 80s. Maybe in low 90s, but nothing more than that. But when you know that, I could smell in the air a little bit. Football is almost here.
That's right. We've had the hot weather. Walked out this morning, and it was about 62 degrees, and that's the first thing that popped in my mind. And about 4:45 this morning is college football is about to kick it off. So. Hey, Dan, new season up on us. About every sports website that I have seen, magazine, it don't matter, grandmas, grandpas, everybody is picking Ohio State number one team with good reason. So who do you have? What are your four teams, or if you want to give us a rundown of your top five or ten, who do you have to look out for this year?
Yeah, I think we could talk every week about, how you want to rank these teams. I think the key is about, I look at for preseason top 10 based on talent and returning starters. And we could always talk about who I think is going to finish the season in the top 10. But just basing off of this, I go off returning starters and overall talent. So I'm going to go with Notre Dame at number 10. I think they're going to have a very successful season. They have a very favorable schedule. People are talking about how tough it is. Certainly a top 20 difficulty. But I also have a road game at Stanford at the end of the year. November should be fairly easy. The key, of course, is coming out healthy after October. Number 9, I have Auburn. Obviously, they were picked to win the SEC by the media, not the West, not to confuse everybody, but a lot of people have Auburn in the playoffs, so I got them a little lower there. I love the talent level. Obviously, the schedule is pretty impossible for most teams, but I'm still intrigued by how the defense can improve.
Right.
Number 8, I have USC. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how Cody Kessler comes off a monster season. He loses Nelson Aguilar, who should do some things with the Philadelphia Eagles. 7, I have Georgia, who I think has been my dark horse last year. I still think they have a high potential. Number 6, I have Florida State. I think it's intriguing to see if Dalvin Cook, that's really the key for Florida State, if his hearing goes well and he's reinstated to the team, and I think he's potentially, the Noles could be back into a national prominence. If he's kicked off the team, I think they'll be okay with Jock Patrick as a true freshman, but they could potentially lose 2-3 games even with the addition of Everett Golson. 5, I have Michigan State. 4 is Baylor. 3 is TCU. And remember, TCU actually, for the record, has never, ever, ever in their program history had a preseason top 5 ranking. So the bullseye is clearly on them. A lot of people are complaining in terms of Texas, whether it's Baylor or TCU, of course, complaining about not getting the playoffs. So SEC folks may be watching them a little bit more this year, despite the soft schedule. They open up at Minnesota in August, so no chance of snow there. And number 2, I have Alabama. And number 1, Ohio State. Tomato, tomato, as some say. The two best coaches in the country, Urban Meyer and Nick Saban. Pick your poison of how you're going to beat those two teams on paper. Arguably the two most talented teams in the nation. So I'd rank those 10-1 based on returning starters, not necessarily how I think they finished the season. More than happy to tell you that later before the season starts. But that's how I would do my personal top 10. Everybody's got their own criteria of what equals that.
Oh, yeah, and any of these top 10 teams, you know, could be in the talk when it gets down to it. And, Dan, you mentioned something. I want to throw a curveball at you. About a suspension. What are you hearing, or what do you think, what's your thoughts on our man down at Auburn, Duke Williams? He has passed up the NFL last year, would have been a first-round draft choice, and back at Auburn, and now finds himself suspended.
Yeah, I certainly think they're going to be able, in terms of the coaching staff from Gus Malzahn and Duke, I think they're, you know, the hope is that they're going to work it out within the next week or two. You do have a pretty big opener in the Georgia Dome against Louisville. You kind of need him playing, I think, in order to probably win that game. You could potentially win without him. Probably still going to be favored by close to a touchdown, even if he doesn't play. But Duke Williams needs to play for Auburn this year if they want to win at least 10 games.
Right.
And many people are predicting them to win 11, potentially 12 if you count their postseason. So I'm hearing that he's more than likely going to be reinstated and be able to practice sooner rather than later. But clearly, the coaching staff has taken the no individual is bigger than the team. He's even been quoted for saying that. But clearly, he's a top five receiver. His stock may be falling unless he has a monster season, which he's still very capable with Jeremy Johnson despite only 2 starts. So I think he'll come back, but it's going to be interesting because they got some pretty tough opposition in the opener with Louisville.
Yeah, and Auburn fans, like myself, are sweating it out right now. So. Hey, you talked about the top 10 teams there in your thought as the season starts. So wouldn't be fair not to talk about a couple of sleepers, teams that you think may be a surprise at the end of the year. We're going to look up and say, hey, where did they come from? Who are two teams that we can look forward to be the sleepers this year?
Yeah, I think Nebraska, the Cornhuskers, I think are back to being national relevant. They haven't really been nationally relevant other than Bo Pelini on the sidelines. They've won 9+ games, last half decade they've won 9. Only Dabo Sweeney and Nick Saban have done that in the last handful of seasons. But I think they have the easiest schedule of any Power 5 squad. That includes the likes of Wisconsin, Ohio State, who have pretty cakewalks for the most part for their standard on paper, at least schedule-wise as well. But I think the Huskers have a very good pitch-and-catch combo of wide receiver Jordan Westerkamp, who I was able to cover and watch a ton in high school out of Illinois, and then quarterback Tommy Armstrong, who I think is kind of a complete unknown for the average college football fan. Only the true diehards may know he's from the state of Texas, but a little undersized, probably only a legit 5'11" dual-threat quarterback that he put on a clinic against the USC Trojans in the Holiday Bowl, and USC, of course, probably going to be a top-10 preseason team and be picked by many to make the playoffs. But I think he's going to be fantastic. People are all talking about Hackenberg of Penn State, Tanner Cook of Michigan State, and pick your quarterbacks, Ohio State. So I think Armstrong and Westerkamp are going to be the best passing combo in the entire conference in the Big Ten. And I think they're going to be one of the more underrated in the country. And they're very physical and big up front. I think they're going to dominate BYU, Miami. They're going to dominate early on in the season in the trenches. And I think you win this West Division if you can get by Wisconsin at home in the season. I think they'll do that. The Badgers have owned that division and pretty much owned the conference along the likes of Ohio State and Michigan State. So I think Nebraska's going to win their division in the West, And I actually think they have a chance to win 11 games. I think potentially it goes start out 11-1 with that loss at home to Michigan State, and they could have a chance of playing Michigan State again potentially in the Big Ten Championship. So I'm buying Nebraska big time this year. They have 0% chance of starting the season ranked, and I love their chance. I think there's almost 100% chance they'll finish the season ranked due to the schedule and the underrated talent they have. And that second team that you guys are probably familiar with, the Bayou Bengals, the LSU Tigers, I think it's everybody's been talking about how talented they are, barring their quarterback, but I think Brandon Harris is about to become a big-time super stud, if you will, for SEC standards. The hype machine, I think, will develop, assuming he beats out Jennings, which I think he will with his off-the-field problems, despite being back on the team. I'd argue that LSU, on paper, for me entering the season, their running backs, wide receiver combo, as good as any team in America, so whether it's Alabama, Auburn, Ohio State. I think Leonard Fournette, a future first-round draft pick, his backup Darrell Williams is a future stud, and I think John Diarce, Trey Quinn, Malachi Dupree, Trayvon Durrell. I think this receiving corps is loaded. So it's time for Les Miles to take a few shots downfield. And he couldn't do that at times last year. Brendan Harris didn't really know the playbook, and that Auburn game was atrocious, but showed off his arm in that comeback. They almost pulled it off against Mississippi State. So I'm looking for the defense to be as good as always. The offense, I think, is going to make dramatic improvements. I think they might be the most improved team in the country on paper, and I think their record will indicate that. I think they finished the season potentially in the top five, and it's so crazy because some people don't even have them finishing in the top five of the SEC West. So that just tells you how crazy the SEC is, but I'm buying Nebraska and LSU big time this season.
Great. Hey, Dan, this is Ronnie. Great to hear from you, man.
Hey, great to talk to you. I hope your summer's going well, and I hope you're ready for some pigskin.
Hey, it is, and roll tide. Hey, you told us who you think is going to be the sleepers. Well, now let's reverse that and tell us who's going to lay what team's going to lay an egg.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the AP preseason top 10 that come out in a few weeks. Every year there's always a top 10 team, every year for like the last decade plus, that ranks in the top 10 to start the season and finishes the season unranked. And if I had to put a little penny on one team this year, that would put a confidence and that team falling apart. A team that I think's been one of the more talented programs in the country. I think they're a top five program, but I think they're going to have a tough season, and that's the Oregon Ducks, who I think has arguably the toughest schedule of any team in the preseason top 10 outside of the SEC. So include all those teams, I think the Oregon Ducks could potentially lose 3 or 4 games, which we have not been accustomed to seeing. But you lose 4 or 5 games, you're pretty much a lock to finish unranked. But you're looking at, they've been favored in 45 straight games. So people in the desert, they love the Ducks, and I love their explosion at offense. DeForest Buckner is going to be a potential top 10 pick. He's 6'7". He's a load up front. Smoked Florida State in that bowl game, obviously. But you look at their road trips. They got Arizona State on a Thursday night. It's going to be just brutal. And then you get to go to Stanford on the road. You host USC. And then I mentioned your second game of the year is at Michigan State. And that's not going to be an easy game, payback from last year, revenge game. And, of course, Oregon lost already their backup running back, Thomas Tyner, who's almost like a 1A, 1B with Royce Freeman. So I think Oregon on paper is a top 10 team, but when you look at the schedule and you look at the lucky breaks they've caught in years past, I think they're a potential 4-loss team this season. So I'm selling Oregon, and I'm also going to sell Missouri. They've certainly made me look foolish the last 2 years I went in the East, but I think it's gone to show that they've been able to win because they're will to win in the trenches with their defensive linemen. Some are having to get in trouble in the NFL, but their winning ways, Gary Pinkel, maybe one of the more underrated coaches. But I think this team loses at least 4. I got Pemberton for 5 losses this year. When you look at Georgia, Tennessee, I think they could lose to Florida potentially at home. You throw in Mississippi State and Arkansas from the West Division, that's a tough slate right there. And I think they've lost some guys, some bodies on the defensive line. The offense has always been mediocre if the running game can't get going. So I think this team could finish at best 3rd in the East and probably lose 5 games a season. And they're going to start the year ranked, and I don't really give them much chance to finish there.
Hey, thanks, Dan. Appreciate that. Hey, I've got another question here for you. You know, we talked about the teams we thought were going to be better than expected, and the teams that may be laying an egg. Well, we've got to touch on some of these coaches. What coaches come to your mind that may be potentially already starting out on the hot seat? You know, how many wins are they going to need to possibly keep their jobs and those kind of things?
Yeah, I think there's a few coaches in the ACC that are certainly on the hot seat. I think Mike London's been there for a few seasons, ever since they lost that bowl game to Auburn, the Chick-fil-A Bowl not too long ago. I thought Virginia had a chance to maybe keep that game close, and I think on Terry McCaleb just went bananas in that game. You guys may remember that one. I think he's still running right now from that bowl game with the amount of yards he had and touchdowns he had in that game. Virginia's really fallen off the map since that game. I think they're just averaging a little bit less than 3 wins a year, and he's got to win 6, I think, to keep his job, Mike London. They got to go to a bowl because they've been bowl-less, if you will, for several seasons now, and the expectations are much higher than that, especially in the ACC Coastal, which pretty much everybody's winning but them. So that's a big-time issue. The only other team that really has not lived up to expectations in the ACC in their division would be the Miami Hurricanes. So I think Al Golden's got to win at least 9. You saw what they did against Florida State, watched every play of that game last year. Florida State caught a few bounces, but Miami just continued to choke down the stretch. And it's amazing, guys, you probably don't remember, but Ken Dorsey, the legendary Miami Hurricane quarterback, was the last Kane quarterback to get drafted in the NFL by Miami. That's an issue. There's teams that get quarterbacks drafted every 3-4 years, so that was an 0-3, I believe. So Golden's probably gone unless he wins at least 9, and I think they're going to probably win no more than 8. So I think there's a good chance he's going to be gone. Daryl Hazel of Purdue, I think, is going to be a chance to be going. They got to get back to at least full contention. So at least 5, I'd probably closer to 6 wins for him to keep his job. And Paul Rhodes, I think, would probably potentially be the number one guy for Iowa State in the Big 12. A lot of teams have had success in that conference, really excluding them in Kansas. Kansas have gone through a few coaches, but Paul Rhodes is likely the next coach to go in the Big 12. I think they got to go bowling this year to keep his job, and there's a good chance they don't win more than one game in that conference. So he's certainly one of the top biggest names out there in terms of hot seat coaches that may not be back next season.
Great. Hey, thanks, Dan. Hey, got one more question for you, and I'm going to turn you back over to Jason. Hey, will it be in preseason? You know, we're all talking about rankings and expectations, and you just gave us your top 10. Well, it's never too early to talk about the Heisman. So who do you have on your radar that may make it, you know, to New York for the Heisman presentation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think 3 guys stand out to me immediately. There's certainly a handful of guys that always come out of nowhere. I thought Jameis Winston potentially was going to get invited. He ended up winning, of course. And last year, Mariota was pretty much one of the favorites. But before that, you had Manziel, Cam Newton, RG3. You've had some guys that have not come out of nowhere, but preseason expectations kind of rise throughout the season when your team wins. And I'm looking at 3 winning programs this year when I'm looking at my top 3 guys. I think Trevon Boykin at TCU. I think if the hype's real for TCU and their offense is as good as it was last year and even improves, and they're going to have to with their struggling defense, I think there's a chance he's going to be a lock to get to New York if they can get into that playoff and win 11 or 12 games. Cody Kessler and Nick Chubb. Chubb, of course, of Georgia. I think he's probably the best player for me, pound for pound. But overall, in college football, I think I would take Nick Chubb in real life. If I had to take one player in the entire country, I'm not sure I would take anybody over him. I think there's a good chance he wins the Heisman if Georgia can win the SEC. But I'm going to give the slice of edges at the moment to Cody Kessler of USC. If USC's back to being dominant, I think USC is going to not only make the college football playoff, but in the process, I think Cody Kessler wins the Heisman. I think he's going to throw for at least 40 touchdowns. And I think there's a great chance that USC reaps the benefits, and Kessler will be one of them. So I put him as the odds-on favorite right now. But those 3 guys all have legitimate chances to hoist the Heisman.
Good deal, Dan. This is Jason back with you. Hey, we live in a state here in Alabama that football is a second religion to some, a first religion to a lot. But especially Alabama fans, I've noticed. I don't know what it is, but these Alabama fans. But and it all comes through the SEC, Dan. SEC, we hear that about as much as we do Alabama. Everybody thinks the SEC is king, nothing like the SEC. And what are your thoughts? Is the SEC still king?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, certainly they took quite the hit in the offseason. They still are, pretty much. I mean, there's still some, I think, some callers on the Feinbaum show that love to argue how the Big Ten or the Pac-12 is better. And certainly I think the Pac-12 South and the Pac-12 overall is not too far behind. I think, I'm not sure they're gaining ground, but over the last, say, 4 or 5 years ago, the gap was much wider. But the SEC is still, I'd say, the king by a good, decent margin. you can make the case that Auburn could win the national championship. Most people are actually picking them to make an appearance in the national championship or the college football playoffs, if you will. And for my sake, I think Auburn also has a good chance to finish fifth in the SEC West, potentially sixth or seventh overall in the SEC. There's no conference that even comes close to that comparison. Now, I know Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, USC, UCLA, that's a pretty darn good conference in the Pac-12 South. Those all five teams I mentioned there, good chance they'll be ranked at some point, whether it's preseason or throughout the season. But I think the SEC West alone makes the SEC the best. And I think the SEC East, while it's been taking quite the punches, I feel like, in the offseason, I think Georgia and Tennessee are back to being pretty darn good programs. I think they'll prove that this season. But like the Auburn case, I mean, they could potentially win it all. And you look at the turnaround they had from 3-9 to play for it all. That just doesn't come from anywhere. TCU had a great turnaround last year, but they couldn't get in. And I think the SEC, with the play, the scheduling they go through every year, people forget they do play some FCS teams, but they also play some juggernauts in the opener and some big-time opponents. ASU is playing A&M, Wisconsin and Alabama are playing, of course, Auburn and Louisville. So they do schedule the big boys. I can't stand when people say they're playing cupcakes. Sure, they're playing an FCS team, but when you play nine teams that are legitimately top 20 caliber teams, like Alabama's going to play nine games this year where they'll be sweating bullets for four quarters, and it's unfortunate, but, you know, they're not afraid of playing the best, and that's what the SEC is all about. And I think you're going to see 7-8 teams ranked for most part of the season, and that no other conference is quite close. I think the Pac-12 is gaining some ground, if you will, but the SEC is still the champion despite not hoisting the trophy, such as Ohio State and Florida State the last 2 years. That's all that's missing for me to be dominant like they were when they had that streak going. But I think they can be back this year. But still to me, they're still the best.
All right, one more, and we'll let you go for this week, Dan. But let's say that you are the selection committee. It's a one-man team, and it's Dan. And you're sitting down right now to pick your teams. We are a complete season away. But right now, who do you think will be the four teams that we're going to see in the playoffs at the end of the year?
Well, first, I would probably consult with Coleman, Alabama, just to make sure that we didn't cross the right. Sure our T's were crossed. And we had to get, I mean, I already saw some people say, I was, you know, talking to you guys, and people are like, well, we're going to get four teams this year, right, in the SEC. And like, well,
yeah.
Some people are actually picking zero. Some people are picking zero. That's just the haters there are out there. But I think there's going to be at least one team in the SEC to get in the college football playoff. I think the Georgia Bulldogs are going to get through this year. I had them last year, but I think they're going to get away from that gauntlet where they play Auburn and Bama from the West. But they should be favored in every game this season. I think the game at home against Alabama is probably going to break their what would be 72 straight games in which Alabama will be favored. I think Georgia can get through that game, which would probably be one of the best games in the last decade, maybe, in SEC football. And I think they'll, get through everybody else, but Auburn, I think, will beat them 11-1, get to the Georgia Dome, probably play Alabama for the SEC Championship game, or Auburn if they can get by them in the Iron Bowl. I think Georgia comes out, wins the SEC Championship with one loss, but will be the four seed. So people will be sweating that out with one loss. That's because the three teams ahead of them will be undefeated, in my opinion. And I'll start with the three-seeded Florida State Seminoles. I think if Dalvin Cook stays, he stays on that team, whether it's spend the first couple games, it comes back by mid-September, the Herring's going to be by then. They're going to run the table or at least get darn close. But I think they do go 13-0 again. You got to go ways back before they lost a game in the regular season. It was actually Mike Glennon and NC State Wolfpack 3 years ago. So I think Florida State goes 13-0. Their toughest game at Clemson. Georgia Tech will be fairly tough, but they're still, I think, head and shoulders above everybody else. Clemson's right there, but they've owned Clemson lately. My two seed, I think, will be the TCU Horned Frogs. I think they go 12-0 despite not having one career start from their entire linebackers, but they play one of the softest schedules of any team ranked in the top 10, excluding Ohio State. So I think TCU runs the table. I think the receivers are fairly comparable to like a Texas A&M, Ole Miss, who I think have the best corps in the SEC. But outside of Baylor and Oklahoma, they should beat everybody by 20-plus. That's just, the Big 12's pretty solid, but that's really all they got for tough competition. And my number one seed is not Ohio State. It's actually USC. So I have the Big Ten getting excluded from this playoff despite having two premier top five programs, in my opinion, with the Buckeyes and Spartans. But I think USC runs the table at 13-0. I think Cody Custer has a magnificent season. The offensive line's top five in the country. They have a, I'd say, a top 10 caliber type of defense, but their offense is going to be scoring lots of points in the Pac-12 South, who has lots of tough competition, but they've avoided some tough opponents. They don't have to worry. They do have to go to Oregon, at the end of the season, but we saw Matt Barkley a few years back go into Eugene and lay a beatdown and get the job done if you want a close game, not a beatdown, but that Duck secondary has been prone to giving up big plays. So I think USC runs the table, and that's your four teams. The biggest storyline will be, of course, Ohio State, and pretty much everybody with a pulse in America is picking to win it all, or at least play in the college football playoff. I think the Buckeyes are going to lose an end-of-the-season type of game, whether it's at Michigan or, in my opinion, the week before at Michigan State. And a one loss at the end of November is a nightmare for the committee, and more so the team that loses, which would be Ohio State, in my opinion. So I think the Buckeyes are out. Georgia gets in the last second with a couple nice wins, and I think those four teams, for me, have the best path to make the second year of the college football playoffs. So it would be quite the storyline. There's going to be some regardless, but those are my four teams for the moment, barring any injuries or some news. I'd be sticking with those four teams, and I think it's going to be quite the show, and I think my pick, if you will, would be Georgia over Florida State right now at the moment. I got the Georgia Bulldogs winning the national championship. I think they got the best linebackers in the country, the best O-line in the country, and the best player in the country, Nick Chubb. But whoever wins the SEC, I think, got a great chance to win it all. I'm just going with Georgia at the moment. But I think Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, and my dark horse, LSU, I think those teams will all finish the year in the top 15. And they're all going to get at least 10 wins, I would argue. But I think Georgia, at the moment, I'm liking them the best to win it all.
All right. Well, Dan, hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Thanks so much for joining us again for our second season here. Glad you had a great summer, and we look forward to talking to you each and every Thursday. So thanks, Dan. We appreciate you.
You got it, guys. I'll talk to you next week. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Hey, stay with us. We'll be back after a short break here on Sports Talk 95.5.
Broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio, from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP Coleman.
Are you ready to take your music to the next level? Need to know how to kickstart your music career, how to get your music published and licensed, and the million-dollar question, how to get your music played on the radio? Baker Productions has the answer to these and many more questions you may have about the music industry. From demos to full production, they have the tools to get your music to the masses. From audio and video studios to copyrights, publishing, and mastering, MP3s to downloads from your website, YouTube, or Facebook page, they have the tools and experience to help get your music on track. See where your music career can lead at Baker Productions, 256-739-0388.
Hey there, Bob Baumhauer here. Last year, the Alabama State Park celebrated our 75th anniversary, but the fun really never ends. I'm happy because this year, special events and new promotions will help us reach out to those who have yet to visit a state park. In addition to providing family fun, our parks are located in some of the most beautiful parts of Alabama. So plan your next visit today. But this year, reach out and bring a friend. For more information, call 1-800-ALAPARK or go to alapark.com.
Brought to you by Alabama State Parks, the ABA, and this station.
Hello, I'm Gary Taylor, conductor of the Coleman Community Band, and I'd like to extend an invitation to you to join the band. We just completed our 10th season, having started back in 2005, and currently have around 50 members. Our members range in age from 18 to 85 and come from all walks of life. The band performs at several events around Coleman, such as Oktoberfest and the Strawberry Festival, as well as concerts at Christmas and during the spring. In fact, the Christmas concert is part of the Coleman Community Concert Association series. We rehearse on Monday nights at the Coleman Middle School Band Room from 6:30 until 8:30. The band season begins after Labor Day and goes through the end of May. We take summers off. If you have experience playing a band instrument, no matter how many years it's been since you've played, we'd love to have you join us. You can contact me at 256-636-2754 or any band member. The first rehearsal of the new season is Monday night, September 14. Hope to see you then.
If you haven't visited Scissor Salon, what are you waiting for? Walk-ins are always welcome at Scissors. Scissors has a fresh new look and comforts with you in mind. At Scissors, it's all about you. Friendly professional service and attention to detail. That's Scissors. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, 1/2 mile past the water plant. Just look for the big scissors on the roof. Scissors, 735-3089. 735-3089. That's Scissors.
Hey, welcome back to Sports Talk Live. We've got our old fishing buddy on here joining us for year two, Rex Chambers. Rex, how are you, bud?
Oh, I'm trying to stop laughing.
What you got going on?
Georgia and the national championship.
What, did you hear that too? Jason stepped out, and I hadn't had a chance to tell him that Dan was picking Georgia. I nearly fell out on the floor. Jason said Jason said he picked them last year too, Rex. I guess if you pick somebody long enough, eventually they'll win the national championship.
You gotta be right at least one time sometime.
Exactly. Hey, you hadn't happened to find Duke Williams around your house, have you?
Hey, no. Let me tell you what. I keep up pretty much, probably more than 95% of everybody does. But the rumor was, you know where he was at Tuesday?
I have no clue.
Had a shovel in his hand at the equestrian center.
No way. Are you serious?
Sure did. So that tells me he's doing what he has been told to do to get back on the golf field.
Well, hey, hats off to Malzahn or whoever else for running the program, you know?
Yeah, right. I'm proud of it. I mean, that's part of what he's got to do to get back on the team. At least he is doing it.
Exactly. Yeah. Kudos to both of them, you know? So, yeah. Hey, Rex, have you had a good summer as far as out in your boat? Have you caught a lot of fish?
I have been an excellent, excellent spring and summer, and had a lot of fun.
Great. Hey, tell us, my first question is, of course, it's still hot, and I was down at Smith a week or so ago, not fishing, just out for pleasure. And, of course, usually in the fall, and you are the expert here, the water level goes down at Smith in the fall most of the time. What will that do to the fish as the water level begins to drop?
Well, if the water level is dropping, that means your water temperatures are going up and they're using a lot of water. But they just go a little deeper. I mean, they move out onto the next drop. You know, if they were on the bank, they're moving out to that 10, 12-foot drop. When the water gets down to that and makes it shallow, then they're moving out to that 20, 25-foot drop. They move out with the water.
And contrary to Gunnersville, right, which kind of stays...
It stays the same, you know, pretty much year-round. There's only about a foot fluctuation on Gunnersville.
Right. I was going to Scottsboro the other day, and I saw a lot of boats, Rex, fishing the riprap in the causeways. Do they know something that's going on, or are they just guys that don't know what's going on?
They have no idea.
Okay. I kind of thought that myself.
On TV in February... And so they think they can get there every day of the year.
Right.
I get quite a chuckle out of it when I'm riding over the causeway in July and you got people fishing the bridge. It's just it's kind of funny to me. But that ain't where the fish are.
That's not where they are. Hey, Rex, that takes me back to even last year. And you mentioned that you guys participate in an event for the veterans. I'd like to touch on that just for a second. Could you kind of refresh us on that? This just kind of tells the kind of guys that you guys are.
Well, there's several events that go on through the year for the Wounded Warriors. And there's a group called the Wounded Warriors, but there's several other offsprings of that. And that's kind of... The Wounded Warriors event has kind of gotten to be a generic term of when you go on with some of our veterans that's been wounded in combat.
Right.
It's not necessarily the ones that's been wounded. I mean, I've fished several of them, and there's a couple of times where I've just had a couple of colonels, you know, that like to go out fish. You know, they spent their time, they're about to retire, and they go out fish.
Sure.
There's a few times where I've had a couple of our wounded veterans with us, too. And I know my last trip on Wheeler, we had a couple, I had a husband and wife who, he was a wounded veteran. He didn't have any disabilities per se, but he had some PTSD, and he had a couple of dogs were his, more or less, his comfort zone.
Right.
That was interesting. So I had a husband and wife and two of the, and their two dogs in the boat.
In the boat.
It's fun.
Oh, wow. Well, speaking of taking people fishing, Rex, I know last year you gave out a website that people could go to, you know, check out what you're going, you know, what you got going on, then you do some guiding and those things. Do you still have that up and running?
I do, smithlakebass.com, and is in the midst of a revamp right now because I'm going to make it more or less my guide fishing page. So I retire this December, and that will be my full-time job from here on out. I'll be guiding on Gunnersville and Smith and Wheeler, Pickwick, and Wilson.
Great. So if anybody wants to be hooked up and if you take them fishing, they just need to go to that website and they can get all the contact information they need?
Eventually. It's got all my contact. I'll either have all the guide rates and stuff eventually, but right now pretty much the best way to keep up, of course, like everybody else, is on Facebook.
Right.
All you got to do is find me on Facebook. I got two pages. I got a personal page. You want a friend on that, you're going to see a lot of pictures of my family, my dog, and what I'm cooking for supper. But I also have a fishing page. You just go get the like button to keep up with everything that's going on fishing.
Great. Well, hey, you mentioned the key word there, fishing. If somebody's wanting to go right now, getting their boat, go in the water, hadn't been in a while, and they can go anywhere they want to, which lake are you going to send them to, and what you going to put in their hand to fish with?
Right now it's going to be on Gunnersville. That's just, Tennessee River is still on fire. When the water gets hot, everything else slows down. Gunnersville speeds up. Right now you pick up a big flipping stick with a 1 ounce to 1.5 ounce big bullet weight on it and, put you some kind of creature bait on there and start punching the grass. They're flipping. The flipping bite is off the hook, getting better by the day, and put your boat in about 10 foot of water and start flipping the edges.
Okay. Tell us, Rex, go a little specific and tell us, somebody that's never been to Gunnersville, kind of what kind of equipment they have, because the equipment they need at Gunnersville would be much different than they need at Smith, correct?
Yeah, you got to upgrade. I mean, you got to have a big 7.5, 7'4", 7'6", flipping stick, 50 to 60 pound braid, and like I said, a heavy weight, and just get on a grass line and start pitching. 10 foot from the boat, pitch it, let it hit the bottom, pitch it up, reel it up, pitch it again. I mean, you might go 2 hours without a bite, then all of a sudden you're going to find that one little stretch where there's a really big school fish, and you can catch 4, 5, or 6 just in a heartbeat and have a really good day.
And be some quality fish.
Yes.
I got you. Okay. If somebody's wanting to, if they can't get to Gunnersville and they're just going to go to Smith, well, what would you suggest?
You got to go at night. I mean, the night bites, they're taking some really good weights this summer on some of their night tournaments. And they fish a tournament on Tuesday, Friday nights. And I think there's a Friday night tournament from the dam, there's a Tuesday, and either a Friday or Saturday night from the park. They shuffle it up.
Right.
1 week Friday, 1 week is on Saturday. But the night tournament's been taking 15, 17 pound fish to win. That's strong on Smith.
That's pretty solid.
Our tournament. So, and it's been spinnerbaits, jigs, and little finesse worms all summer long, pretty much, on some men.
Okay. Hey, take us in another route. If somebody want to go stripe fishing, well, we haven't done a lot of talking about stripe fishing, but if they want to go to Smith now, when and what would they need to do to try to put one of those in the boat?
Well, I'll be truthful. We haven't been on Smith as far as an early bite lately, and there are still some topwater stripe to be caught first thing in the morning, daylight.
Oh, okay.
But the majority of the people that I've talked to and what I've read is it's at night on the boathouse lights, taking a little hair jig, half ounce hair jig, and swimming around the boathouse lights at night and just hang on, hope we get a big bite.
Yeah. And that's the things that I'd heard recently was, you know, be at night, be around the boathouses where the lights are.
Right. And you can tell your compadre there that the bright lights he saw in his bedroom window.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Those are bow fishermen.
Bow fishing.
Yes, they get out at night with these right, folks. Now, let me tell you what. There's a whole lot of tournament bass fishermen that give fishing a bad name.
Right. Right.
There's a whole lot of bow fishermen that give bow fishing a bad name, too. And they get out at night, they'll try it live. And you're on the Tennessee River, the majority of them are airboats. So you can just think being there at your house on the lake, which you paid $250,000 for, at 3:30 in the morning, and there's an airboat in your back. Folks on Gunnersville are not happy about these airboats in the middle of the night and early in the morning. And they get out bow fishing. What they do is they light up the bank with, and they go for carp and gar. Mainly, there's a lot of carp tournaments going on with the bow fishermen right now.
Bow fishing tournaments.
They get their bow and arrows. Of course, they're the arrow is hooked to a piece of rope.
Right.
How they want to do it. And they light up the bank, and they go and they shoot the fish with their bow and arrows.
Well, as we talked earlier, I told Jason, I said, I saw one of those boats coming there by Gunnersville Boat Mart, and I didn't know what it was.
Right. Like I said, there's a lot of good guys that do it, but there's a lot of guys that's giving the rest of them a bad name. We're seeing a lot of fish that are just dumped at the boat ramp.
Yes.
There's no sense in that, simply because there's this one gentleman over in Mississippi. Because all you got to do, if they're having a bow fishing tournament, all you got to do is call them and tell him what time your weigh-in is, and he will show up at the weigh-in with this great big old dump truck.
Really?
And he will take all the fish, all the carp, all the gar that they do. He has he does a cat food deal.
Oh.
I take it back. Let me back up. He has turtle ponds.
Turtle ponds.
And he feeds them. He does commercial turtles. He feeds them just turtles, so he'll show up anywhere for a bow fishing tournament and take everything that they kill.
Wow. Okay, let me ask you another question about that. Is there a problem with these guys? You mentioned gar and car. Well, are they out shooting bass?
I know that it probably happens.
Yeah.
The majority of the time, the tournaments on the Friday nights and Saturday nights are mainly for carp.
Right.
Numbers and weight. On the carp side, but there are guys that get out on Smith that do there's carp on Smith too, but mainly they do gar on Smith Lake.
Right.
There's several guys that love to get out and shoot the gar with their bow and arrow.
Wow. I'm glad you told us that because we didn't know what it was, and I was going to ask you that question too. So that's, they're bow fishing.
The majority of them around here is usually a big pontoon boat or a big flat bottom.
Uh-huh.
That don't bother anybody at night except for the light shining or out. You get up on Tennessee River, they go with the airboats. That gum, at 3 o'clock in the morning, those airboats are all full out.
Exactly. Right. Well, hey, Rex, man, I appreciate it. So if somebody's wanting to try to fish, they need to get to Gunnersville, throw in the grass, throw it in that grass mat with, like you said, a creature, and hang on.
Get to Gunnersville, get on the grass lines, or either get to Smith after dark, throw a big spinnerbait or a little jig.
Well, great. Hey, thanks, Rex. I appreciate you joining us again. And again, Rex, give them your website that people can go check you out.
Hey, smithlakebass.com, or look me up on Facebook, Rex Chambers Fishing.
There it is. Hey, thanks, Rex. Appreciate you, bud. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
All right, put some in the boat. There we are, Rex Chambers, our local fishing pro, or expert, as he would rather be called. Maybe neither one, but we give him credit anyway. So, thanks, Rex. Thanks for this year. And short break here on Sports Talk Live 95.5.
Hey there, Bob Baumhauer here. Last year, the Alabama State Park celebrated our 75th anniversary, but the fun really never ends. I'm happy because this year, special events and new promotions will help us reach out to those who have yet to visit a state park. In addition to providing family fun, our parks are located in some of the most beautiful parts of Alabama. So plan your next visit today. But this year, reach out and bring a friend. For more information, call 1-800-ALAPARK or go to alapark.com.
Brought to you by Alabama State Parks, the ABA, and this station.
Are you ready to take your music to the next level? Need to know how to kickstart your music career? How to get your music published and licensed? And the million-dollar question, how to get your music played on the radio?
Baker Productions has the answer to these and many more questions you may have about the music industry. From demos to full production, they have the tools to get your music to the masses. From audio and video studios to copyrights, publishing, and mastering, MP3s to downloads from your website, YouTube, or Facebook page, they have the tools and experience to help get your music on track. See where your music career can lead at Baker Productions, 256-739-0388.
From the ARN News Center, I'm Derek Scudder. Federal health officials have warned Alabama and Louisiana they may be violating federal law by ending state Medicaid payments to Planned Parenthood. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services says that the federal Medicaid agency has notified the states of the possible violation. Alabama Governor Robert Bentley and Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal announced they were ending provider agreements that reimbursed Planned Parenthood for providing health services to Medicaid patients. Cherokee County officials say Leesburg Mayor Edward Mackey has died after a bulldozer incident. He was apparently working near his shop repairing a bulldozer when the equipment engaged and trapped him underneath. Authorities in Birmingham say a kindergartner is hospitalized after a cluster of lockers fell on her this morning at Lewis Elementary School. The girl was taken to Children's of Alabama Hospital. Birmingham City School Superintendent went to the hospital to meet the girl and her family. He says the girl appeared to be in good condition. This is the Alabama Radio Network. An Oxford man has been arrested and charged with killing his wife. Tanisha Denise Varner was found stabbed to death at the couple's home in the Bynum community. 33-year-old DeAndre Collins Varner is being held in the Oxford jail without bond. An 18-year-old Jefferson County student was arrested after he allegedly threatened to bring a gun to Mortimer Jordan High School and shoot other students. He made that threat as he was riding a school bus on Tuesday. Mark Anthony Woodruff was arrested at his home in Morris and charged with making terrorist threats. Look for more Georgia students to be attending Auburn University. A $1 million gift from the Goisweta Foundation makes need-based scholarships available to students who graduated from high schools in the 10 counties surrounding Atlanta. The foundation is an Atlanta-based private family foundation providing financial assistance to enable young people from the metro Atlanta area to learn and succeed. I'm Derek Scudder, ARN News.
The summer break will be over before we know it, and it will be back to school time. Make sure your children are prepared for a new school year by ensuring that they have all the vaccines that are required by state law. This is State Health Officer Dr. Don Williamson. Alabama law requires children of all ages to be up to date on their immunizations before attending school. Every child needs to be vaccinated against polio, diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis, measles, mumps, rubella, and chickenpox. You'll need to provide your child's school with the updated certificate of immunization showing the month, day, and year your child received each of these vaccines. Immunizations do not stop with small children. Preteens, adolescents, and even college-age students need to be vaccinated. For more information on the vaccines, which diseases they protect against, and school immunization law, log onto our website at adph.org/immunization. Again, that's adph.org/immunization.
This message brought to you by the Alabama Department of Public Health and this station.
In money news, Americans are now spending nearly a third of their income on rent. A new report from Zillow found rent prices are higher than ever before. Meanwhile, the average U.S. homeowner is budgeting 15% of their take-home each month to pay the mortgage. Americans are buying more homes and at higher prices, yet a new report shows that mortgage debt is little changed. That suggests Americans are paying down mortgage debt at roughly the same pace as new loans are made. The Federal Reserve says outstanding U.S. mortgage debt slipped 0.7% in the April-June quarter. That decline occurred as Americans took out $466 billion in new mortgages, the most in almost 2 years. Federal regulators say brokerage firm Edward Jones has agreed to pay more than $20 million to settle claims it overcharged customers in new municipal bond sales. The Securities and Exchange Commission says $5.2 million of the settlement amount will be distributed to customers who were overcharged. I'm Derek Scudder. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
Winding it down on a Thursday afternoon, Ronnie.
This is the day of the week we're looking for. One closer to the weekend.
And something I brought up earlier, Ronnie, see if you didn't do the same thing. Did you not think football this morning when you walked outside in that temperature like
it was? I sure did. I thought it about lunch when I walked out, right. And it was still reasonably cool, and that breeze was blowing.
And
you got some leaves that's beginning already to turn a little bit. You know, it's just right around the corner.
Well, we could sit here and just work each other into a fit.
And they're frenzy, that's right.
Fit, I'm telling I could smell the grills going, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like you said the other day, the band's playing.
Yeah. Get your cornhole boards out, play a little.
Yeah. Smell the fresh cut grass.
Oh, yeah. Nothing like fall in the South.
I may have to go home tonight and find a football game.
Hey, there was one on last week. You know, it was a pro game, but it was a Hall of Fame game. You know, hey, it was a game to watch.
I think if you've got ESPN Classic, you can watch any game.
That's right. Exactly.
Like, what, 50 years.
Yeah, go watch some old games.
Tuesday, I watched the Alabama-Auburn game from this past season. Well, I watched
You watched part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was flipping through, and they were showing Alabama and Ohio State, so I really didn't check up. I just kept going.
Hey, Jason?
Yes,
I closed my eyes and remember being there, so that's even better.
Yeah. Thankfully, remember I had tickets, and I got rid of those tickets.
A little early, as I recall, but, well, it was kind of funny because Melissa was pulling more towards Alabama, and I was pulling more towards Auburn, and, well, we got along. That's all I'll say about that.
And, you know, and Jason, you don't have season tickets this year, right?
Did not buy season tickets.
Yeah. A lot of work involved in that.
It is. It's... And I told Kathy we can stay at home and watch it on the big screen, and then when we want to go, we can go, and it's not so much like a job.
Right.
You know, you can tie up a wad of money by the time you make your donation to the school. You don't have to make that donation, but if you don't make that donation, you will find yourself sitting at the top in the end zone.
And so, in those cases, you're about as well to be home.
Oh, yeah, you're better off to be home.
Yeah, right.
Of course, I know people, and you probably know people too, and actually – friends of ours from down below Birmingham, around Pelo City, they go to some of the games and don't go in.
A lot of people that just go down for the tailgating. And
they'll sit out and watch it.
Yeah.
Of course, one of them's an Alabama fan and the other is a Georgia fan.
Uh-huh.
So.
Uh-huh. And I'm sure people enjoy that. For me,
if I'm going, I'm going to the game.
Yeah, or I'm going to stay home and watch it at my TV. I'm not going to drive 2 or 3 hours and sit and watch it on
TV. You make the donation, and you're looking at, if you don't get in the big donation at Auburn, you're looking at probably $700-$800 donation. And then your tickets are going to cost you, say, $500 per set. And so we were buying four sets
per
tickets.
Set per week?
No, that's for the season.
Oh,
per season
I was
going to
say,
yeah.
Good grief.
Four sets at $500, so there's the $2,000. We've got $800 tied up in the donation. And then your parking spot, you don't have to do this either, but if I'm going to do it, I want to do it where it's all set up and enjoy it. The parking spot's going to cost you $40 per game, so there's, say, 8 home games. And so you got another $320 tied up in it. And
just a part.
Yeah. And so you've got to buy some stuff. You know, if you buy your generator and...
and a TV.
Oh,
if you don't carry a TV with you. Yeah.
A lot of expense. And you can buy a nice, large TV now for $600-$700 and get a nice 60-inch or bigger.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. So.
But it's nothing like
being
there and having... drunks sitting in your lap and falling all over you.
Pouring their beer out on you.
Nothing like it.
That's right. That's what you pay good money for. Yeah. Well, hey, it's that time of year. Its season is right around the corner. I think September the, is it 5th, 3rd?
5th, I think.
September the 5th, opening night, college football.
And, Ronnie, remember talking about the drunks. Remember, not this past season, but the season before, I had great neighbors, I call them, people that own the season tickets around you.
Right.
Great people.
Yeah.
Got along great. Last year...
not good.
The people that were to the left of us were the people from Hades.
A front row seat?
No, I'm telling you. It didn't matter which member of the family sat on the end, they would get on your nerves.
Yeah.
And then I got to experience the kid from Hades that sat in front of me that was shaking the shaker in my face.
I remember you telling that story.
He slapped me so many times with that Auburn shaker.
Just like a cartoon.
Yeah, right? I started feeling like I was on that What Would You Do? You know what comes on Friday nights?
Oh, And to think all that, that's costing you several thousand dollars to sit there.
Yeah, I'm paying to get treated that way.
Yeah, you can stay that home and get treated
go
like
down,
that.
Get blistered.
Yeah.
Be soaked with sweat, have to change clothes before you go into the ball game, then go in there and pay $4 or $5 for a cold drink, sweat some
that
more.
That cost them a quarter.
Yeah, and then get slapped in the face with a shaker.
But as you said earlier, Jason, there's nothing like being there.
Right, there's nothing. Nothing like it.
No. Taking all the bad that goes with it, there's nothing quite like sitting there when they first come out of that, out of the tunnel or whatever they call it, and the band fires it off.
They have their game day video comes on. The big screen. Auburn's got the Jumbotron now.
I've seen it on TV. Have you seen it in person?
No, I've not seen it in person, but I've seen some video.
It's supposed to be huge.
Yeah.
And especially with Auburn when they let their eagle loose and it flies in the stadium.
That is awesome.
You're an Alabama, whether you're an Auburn fan or not, you got to give them kudos. That's impressive.
And explain to me, they had to do that at some point for the first time.
That's right.
Now, how did they keep that eagle inside that stadium the first time they've done it?
I don't know how they. I don't know if they could do it in a controlled environment or something. But when you turn that cat loose, I mean, he's, you know, there's no reeling him in.
No, he's got a mind of his own.
Yeah.
And he sometimes will take a long flight. I mean, just keep hovering around the stadium with the, is he ever going to land?
I know.
And everybody doing the whoa.
Yeah.
You know, they get give out.
Right.
And then sometimes he flies, makes one turn, and down he goes. And so.
It's impressive. Even as an Alabama fan, I like to see that.
But it's football games are kind of like fishing.
Yeah.
You do all that in hopes that you get one game, like the Alabama game or the Georgia game. And that's two games. Never forget.
Yeah.
Tyler was there at it. Kathy was there. And Tyler, I think that's the only two games he went to that year. So he really lucked out. But to get to share that experience with your son, you know, it's something neither one of you will ever forget.
Sure.
It was worth all the money we paid for both seasons.
So. Right. Absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned a key word there. You said Georgia. And that brings me back to Dan. Dan has been down on the corner, hadn't he?
Yeah.
He's been down making a purchase.
He's been in Atlanta or something.
Yeah. So. I thought I was going to fall off that table when Dan.
But, like I said, he picked Georgia last year.
He sure did.
And actually stayed with them throughout most of the year, even though.
He's picking them again, and they've got as much controversy, or I don't know what you call it, controversy, but uncertainty over their quarterback as Alabama does.
Right.
But, you know, that seems to be kind of a trend with the SEC right now. You know, it's not, I guess, overly blessed with not necessarily having potential quarterback talent, just proven quarterback talent. It's just not there in the SEC.
Right.
You know, again, we talked about the other day, there's Jeremy Johnson at Auburn, touted, as you said, to be one of the top five finalists for the Heisman, and he probably hasn't thrown 25 passes yet. I mean, he's done in reality, he hasn't done anything to earn it other than, you know, they're looking at his potential. And there's just not a lot of, you know, quarterbacks that's going to probably be turning NFL people's heads this year.
No, and if you get a chance, or anybody, if you're listening at home and you're interested in the quarterback situation and what's going on around the SEC, you can go to SaturdaysDownSouth.com. And look down toward the bottom of the page. I'm trying to find it now so we can go over it right quick before we go off. But they have the SEC quarterbacks ranked 1 through 14.
Yeah.
And
the thing about this, Jason, there's going to be a lot of names. If you just call the name out, you wouldn't know if it was a quarterback or if it's somebody that worked for Jay.
Yeah.
You know, here at the station. I mean, they're just unknown names. You know, the Cam Newtons, they're not there. The A.J. McCarrons, the Johnny Manziels, you know, those kind are not there right now.
It was in one of the biggest boxes on the screen, running, and I went right past it real quick. We got about 3 minutes.
Okay.
And here again, talking about the same thing we've talked about as far as the way they're building up Jeremy Johnson. They've got it. Jeremy Johnson, of course, listed as number one and have him rated as the elite.
In the SEC, the elite quarterback who has started a game, two games, three
two games?
Games,
I think. And two that was games, because of suspension.
And he's listed as elite quarterback.
Yeah, elite quarterback. Okay.
Says a lot for the conference, I guess.
Auburn, number one quarterback, Mississippi State at number two, with Prescott, number three.
But isn't that, and I know we're getting close on time. I'm not against Jeremy Johnson. Dak Prescott's already proven himself. Why would he not be number one?
I don't know. We'll see.
You know, and again, that's people's opinion.
Yeah,
so.
Either people are going to look brilliant or right. They're going to look stupid.
Yeah,
one
exactly.
Two. There's not going to be in between.
So Jeremy Johnson's one, Prescott from Mississippi State's two, right?
Yeah, and okay. Texas A&M, Kyle Allen at three.
Yeah, it's pretty solid.
And if he starts, now they – Saturdays down south are predicting Jake Coker to start for Alabama, have him at number four, and that's another situation that tells you the situation with quarterbacks.
Right.
When Alabama can't decide on a quarterback.
Yes.
And he's going to be the fourth best in the SEC.
That's exactly right. So. You know, and people can look at that two different ways. They can look at it as, well, they don't have anybody that they're confident with right now, or they've got so many good ones they can't pick one.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the latter.
No, I don't either.
I'm not saying they don't have some good ones potentially there. I'm just saying that potential has not reared its head yet.
Yeah, Matty Mock comes in at six from
Missouri.
Let's skip down and see who's got the worst quarterback according to Saturdays Down South. And what team would you say?
I would probably pick Vandy.
You would be right.
Yeah.
Vandy, Johnny McCreary or McCreary.
McCreary.
And he is the predicted starter, so... We'll see South Carolina at 13, the old ball coach.
Well, he'll have some work to do then.
Yeah. Well, all right. That means it's time to go.
Another day.
Yeah, let's go home, get a bite to eat.
That sounds good.
See if we can cool this weather down again tonight.
That's right.
All right, folks, until Tuesday, we're going to leave it with you. Hope you get your grass mowed and all the honeydews done this weekend. But until then, a big War Eagle.
And a bigger Roll Tide.
We'll talk to you next week. You've been listening to Sports Talk Live, 95.5 Coleman's Independent Radio Station.
And a reminder once again, if you're a new listener to Sports Talk Live, you can catch this program on demand, live95coleman.com. As soon as we get it uploaded, generally an hour or two at the show's conclusion, and you can listen to the entire show again. It airs every Tuesday and Thursday right here on Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio.
Down the way I look.